it may be that the Lord is going to supply someone to at least for now take the work in Hopkinsville. And I know those of you who read our letters know that we've been praying for that and to come and at least to see if that's the Lord's will for them. And that will free us up to look to another place for mission work. And I don't know for sure what the Lord will have me to do yet, but there's a couple places we're praying about. One of them is in Springfield, Tennessee. There's a couple places in Kentucky. So just pray for us, but it won't be. I'd have to get right back to it. I can't sit around too long. I'll get in trouble. So if I stay busy, I'll stay basically out of trouble. All right, I can see this clock and I can see this one, so we're all right. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel. Samuel chapter 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was at the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. And Lord, you know that I need you. We all need you. Lord, if I could articulate perfectly, if I could speak with a commanding voice, it would all be nothing without the Spirit of God. Lord, I need to hear from you. We all need to hear from you. We ask that we would hear you speak your word to us in our hearts. And oh, Lord God, encourage us. Revive us that are saved, that we would turn away from all the distractions and the desires and lusts of this world, all the things that consume our time, and harden our cold hearts. And Lord, revive our hearts. Return unto us the joy of thy salvation. Renew within us a right spirit, Lord, that in these days we would remember that the King is coming and we would be diligent in his service. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. There's a couple of things that we need to talk about before I even begin with the actual text. To understand chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, you have to know something about the concept of imputed righteousness. Now, imputed righteousness means this: Christ was righteous. We are saved not only by the cross of Jesus Christ, but his life. You see, on the cross, he died a substitutionary death. That is, in my place, he died. And my sins were paid for. All put away. All of the writing that was against me put away. But that is not enough. That's enough to save my soul. It's not enough, however, for my entrance into heaven. If I was only cleansed, I'd be empty, for I have myself no righteousness. Jesus said unto the disciples that their righteousness had to be far beyond the righteousness of the most religious. In fact, to enter into heaven, you have to have complete and perfect righteousness. Don't fall out with me. I want to make a statement here, and I want you to think about it. We are not and cannot be saved by our works. That's what we label work salvation. The works of man cannot please God. But I want you to know that there is a sense in which we are saved by works. There is a sense in which our salvation is a work salvation, but not my works, not your works, not the works of any man except the God man. I had to have perfect righteousness. I had to stand before God with the truth in my heart that I had fulfilled the law. And I can't. I can't. I'm not only guilty in one point, I'm guilty in every. Amen. Without perfect righteousness, I cannot enter into heaven. And I could not. And will never be able to. But He did for me. He not only died for me, He lived for me. Why was it necessary for Him to live 33 and some odd years? He had to fulfill the law of God. Amen. He had to live a perfect life. And on the cross of Calvary, my sins were taken from me like a filthy robe, like a nasty garment. They were taken and they were nailed to the cross, and there God poured out His wrath against my sin. Amen. But it was the perfect God-man who suffered. But He didn't leave me without a garment. That perfect righteousness of Christ, you see, He did not need it for Himself, for He is God. His righteousness is inherent in Him. He is of Himself righteous. And therefore did not need to fulfill the law. But He did so for me, and He took that perfect life with no sin. Not only without sin, but with an active righteousness. That is, He did not only not do that which He was not supposed to do, but He did all that is commanded of man by God. Amen. And that righteousness was put on me. When God sees me, He doesn't see me. But He sees the righteousness of Christ and is satisfied. David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Saul was David's enemy. There is no doubt of that. He would not lay his hand on the Lord's anointed. He was anointed to be king by the prophet. And though the Lord had removed from him that anointing, David said, "I will not lay hands on him. Perhaps the heathen will kill him. Perhaps he'll die of himself. But I'll not touch him." But he was David's enemy. In that time, when someone took over a kingdom, and you can read that throughout 2 Chronicles, throughout 1 and 2 Kings. When someone took over a kingdom, they not only killed the king, but every male relative. They were his enemies. That there would be none that could stand up against him and say, "You stole the kingdom, and I will reclaim it for my family." Every one of the seed of the king was killed. And yet David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Why is it that he would desire to show someone kindness for Jonathan's sake? There is a covenant. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 20. I know that you have heard about the covenant. We heard about the old and the new covenant. Don't misunderstand that. It's in the Bible. It's spoken of as the new covenant. Yet this new covenant is not new in the sense that God's first plan didn't work, and some people look at it that way. So it came up with another plan. That's not so. It isn't true. It has always been God's plan. The first covenant, the old covenant, was never meant to save a soul. It was meant to show us our sin. But yet, in a sense, there is salvation in that old covenant. For one fulfilled it. One. The new covenant is totally different. The first covenant was between God and man. Do this and live. And we cannot, will not, would not. The second covenant had nothing to do with you and me. Except in the sense that we are recipients, beneficiaries of a fulfilled covenant. The second covenant, the new covenant, is between God and God. Not between God and man. I have no part in the second or the new covenant, except as the beneficiary thereof. Verse 14, and thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord. Here speaks Jonathan. Jonathan has found out that it is true his father would kill David. And he loved David and knew that David was righteous. Now remember, Jonathan and his father, Saul, brought it to his attention. Jonathan would be the heir of the kingdom. He would take Saul's place as king. He said, you've confounded all that is natural, Saul said to Jonathan. Why would you defend this man who would take from you the kingdom? But Jonathan loved him, for he knew that God had taken the kingdom already from his father. The kingdom belonged to David. He had no desire for it, but only to serve God. And he says to David as he covers for him and saves his life in a physical sense. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. David and Jonathan had a covenant. We're about to read about a man named Mephibosheth. Not a party to that covenant. The covenant was between David and Jonathan. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. He was lame. He was a no good, worthless cripple. There was nothing in him to desire. He could be of no benefit to David. He could only be a liability and never an asset. And not only that, we read on, and the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Now that word Lodabar translates a barren place, a place of despair. And he was crippled in Lodabar. He was in a place of despair and he could not leave it. He could not walk. He could not, of his own power, leave Lodabar. He was a prisoner. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. I submit to you that this is a type of the Lord, God the Father, sending His servant, God the Spirit, to fetch a worthless soul. Turn with me to John chapter 6. I know all this is very familiar to you. John chapter 6, we read here about another cripple. We read about me. And we read about you if you're saved. No man can, verse 44, come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up. I will raise him up at the last day. A cripple in Lodabar. In a place of despair, unable to come, unable to move to the King. If there is grace in the King, it does me no good, for I cannot come. Except the Father which has sent me draw him. Amen. Oh, King David said, go fetch him. Bring him to me. He can't come. He's lame on his feet. See, what happened to him is when he was just a child, the enemy was about to storm the castle, the palace of the king. His nurse picked him up to run away. And she tripped, dropped him. And from that time on, he was lame on his feet and he could not walk. I don't know how it is for sure that he was brought to Lodabar, but I know how I got there. I was born in there. I was born a citizen of Lodabar. Nothing to claim of my own, a place of despair. I was far from God and had no hope in this world.
Amen.
God the Father said, go fetch him.
Amen.
Why? Why is it that God the Father would send the Spirit to fetch me to Christ? Bring me to the King. Not for my sake. Oh, David didn't send for Mephibosheth's sake, but for Christ's sake. I was brought to the King for David, Jonathan's sake. David sent to Lodabar from Mephibosheth. Verse 4, and the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant, brought to Jesus Christ. I had nothing to offer. And I was nothing. I was not to be desired. No good in me. I saw the king and I fell on my face. Behold, thy servant. What more can I do or be? I saw that I was filthy and that I was unclean. And I had no hope in me. I was brought to the king. And David said unto him, fear not. Old Mephibosheth was certainly afraid. For he knew not what would become of him. He knew only that the king had sent to fetch him. Could very well be for his death. For he knew that he deserved it. He knew he was of the seed of Saul and should be by all rights destroyed. Oh, I saw that I was of the seed of Adam. Filthy. Worthless, unclean, like a leper I would cry out, unclean, unclean. I had nothing to bring to my king. He said unto me, fear not. You see, I saw myself a sinner deserving hell. And I was scared when I was brought before the king, for I had no hope. And he said, fear not. For I will surely show the kindness of Jonathan's sake. And I saw Christ on the cross. And I learned that I would be shown kindness for Jesus' sake. I was afraid. I saw myself a sinner deserving hell. But no way out. But he said, fear not. For I will show thee kindness. Not for my sake, but for my Savior's sake. You see, when David had Mephibosheth brought to him, oh, he didn't see Mephibosheth. Saw his beloved Jonathan. For Jonathan's sake, he showed him kindness. Fear not, for I will show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Oh, I saw myself a sinner deserving hell. And if you've never seen yourself a sinner deserving hell, you've never been saved. Sin has nothing to do with comparing yourself to another man. Whether you think yourself better or worse than another. Sin has nothing to do with your own guidelines, your own measure of what good and bad is. For God is not concerned about your opinion. God has set a standard that no man can ever meet. Falling short, he fell on his face and he said, I'm a dead dog. I'm as good as dead and a worthless dog. Fear not, Jacob, thou worm. He said to Mephibosheth, fear not. And oh, what was restored to Mephibosheth. Then the king called and Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servant shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits of thy master's son, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. And Mephibosheth said to the king, he shall eat at my table. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons.
Amen. Amen.
I was a dead dog. I laid on my face before my Lord and said, I deserve nothing but hell. Yeah. But show mercy to me. Yeah. Oh, I would have been satisfied just to be a servant. Oh, I would have been satisfied just to have been rescued from hell. God said, you're my child. For what purpose? Who has earned it? Christ. There is only one begotten of God. How then can I be a son of God? How can I be a child of God? There is only one, the only begotten Son of God. Oh, when God looks at me, don't you understand? He doesn't see me. He he sees Jesus Christ and is satisfied. Amen. He sees the beautiful, blessed apple of his eye. Perfect, holy, righteous. And he is pleased. Me. For my sake. For Christ's sake. How could he love me? Because he loves his son. Ben Sheba said unto the king, according to all that my Lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. For he did eat continually. King's name. But look at this. Look at this. Mephibosheth was treated as a son of the king. He ate every day, continually, at the Lord's table. And he was lame on both his feet. After I was saved, I was still lame on both my feet. I have nothing to offer my Lord. I'm still totally unable. Any good that I do is through the strength of Christ. I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, a lost sheep stays a sheep. And we always need a shepherd. But Jesus Christ, He is my righteousness. If I were to be judged today according to the good that I have done, I would be cast into hell, into utter darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But not for my sake, for Christ's sake. I've been redeemed for Christ's sake. I sit continually at my Lord's table. Amen. I'd like you to turn, please, to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You see, we're still sheep. Turn to Matthew 18. Verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Now, I don't want to offend anyone, mess up your idea of the word lost. I don't want to change that which you have believed, but I submit to you that in most cases when the word lost is used, it does not refer to those that are eternally unsaved. Does not refer to the non-elect. There are lost sheep. Amen. And there are found sheep. Not lost unto God, but lost unto myself, filthy and unclean. Oh, I had the nature of a goat, but I was not a goat. I was filthy and I stank just like an old goat. I was lame on my feet. God sent for me. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99 and cast, or goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish, not one. A lost sheep. Mephibosheth, lame in his feet. Oh, my Lord found me. Oh, my Lord sent for me. And not for my sake, but for Christ's sake. Having mentioned this robe of righteousness that we wear, we wear it, and when God sees us, He's satisfied. I hear much in the religious world of accepting Christ. Yet, Christ does not need my acceptance. He does not need the acceptance of man, the acceptance of the creature. We need to be accepted by Him. And we are made accepted or acceptable in the Beloved. Amen. Oh, when God sees me, He sees His Son. And I'm accepted. I'm received. I'm a child of the King, though I am lame yet on my feet. I wear the righteousness of Christ. And I am certain of heaven. For even now, there is a sense in which I am in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. For my Lord is in me and I am in Him. And if you're without Christ this morning, you're just like Mephibosheth, you're lame on your feet. You can't come to Him. Oh, I know. The Bible says, whosoever will. But I'm going to tell you what, you will not. That's your problem. Whosoever will. That's not an Arminian text. Don't you understand? Whosoever will condemns every man to hell. Because my Bible tells me there is none that seeketh after God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Whosoever will condemns every man to hell, except that the Father sends the Son to fetch a sheep. None can come except the Father which has sent me draw him. And so, what are you then to do? We heard about the Philippian jailer last night. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Are you to sit there, satisfied in Lodabar? You'll find no salvation in that. I'm going to close with John chapter 6. And if you're lost, I pray that you'll listen to this. I don't know the man's name. And I can't even tell you for sure that it really happened, but it illustrates perfectly the answer to what must I do to be saved. The story is told that in the 1800 revivals in England, there was a man that had gone to services and he saw how that people were truly slain by the Spirit. Not this nonsense on television today where a man touches him and he falls down. But they were slain by fear, paralyzed by the knowledge that they were sure to burn in hell. Like Mephibosheth. they were afraid. And they would fall down and call out to God for salvation. And they were brought the sign. And he was concerned about his own soul, having been instructed all of his life in religion. He knew that religion could not save him. And he read over and over and over again, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Oh, and he was afraid. He fretted over that. He said, if only I could know that the Father had given me to the Son, I would flee to Christ. But how can I know? You may have heard over and over and over again gospel truth. And you know that no man can come to Christ except the Father which hath sent him draw him. And you're concerned and you would that you had been given to the Son. But how can you know? Oh, my friend, don't stop when you don't see a period in the sentence. Has none taught you that? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Semicolon. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He read the rest of that sentence. And he saw that it was true that no man can come to Christ except to be brought to him. It's true that only those that the Father gave to the Son will have eternal life. But it is just as true, my friend, if you are without Christ, if you know yourself to be a sinner deserving hell, and you would that Jesus Christ was your Savior, He has promised you that if you'll come to Him, He will in no wise cast you out. I implore you, if you know you're a sinner deserving hell, then believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin. And that God, for Christ's sake, will receive you. Call out to Jesus Christ, and you will have eternal life.
Amen.